Coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's always in the zone, the time zone. Yes, it's Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I want to make sure that we are recording this for our friends listening to us in the archives on robhasawebsite.com. Speaking of robhasawebsite.com, got some server drama going on. I upgraded the server. That's the good news for you guys. So hopefully we should be bringing you a faster, more speedier, svelte Rob Has a Website. So hopefully that's all getting straightened out. So we're transferring over everything from the old site to the new server. So that's the reason why a lot of you guys are having problems with getting to the site today. And I know some of you guys are going to be listening to this in the archive saying, what gives, Rob? How come this was this show was not where it was supposed to be? Yes, we're doing it live on Spreecast. So who knows? Maybe we do this on Spreecast, we get better results. Who knows? Might be the way to go. Anyway, so I apologize about that, everybody. So we're trying to work that through. It is for your benefit. This is a net good thing. We're working to bring you faster servers, a better Rob Has a Website for the 22nd century. So more on that as I have news. We're going to talk about the Amazing Race in this hour. We're going to talk about the preview survivor. Dawn's Bread wants to know, Rob, are you right now at this Beyonce 9 o'clock, as James put it? Yeah, absolutely. We'll go ahead and get some Beyonce going in Russia, as Beyonce likes to do. And that's how you always can find a Beyonce concert in Russia. There's just a handwritten flyer, Beyonce, coming up. Anyway, so much to get to here before we jump into Amazing Race. Very excited about everything going on in the world of Rob Has a Podcast. But big news came yesterday. As we all know, the Survivor Hall of Fame balloting is going on. And you could have knocked me over with a feather when I found out yesterday that Jeff Probst made me one of his three nominees for the Survivor Hall of Fame. High praise indeed from you can't get much higher praise. So thank you very much to Jeff Probst. Who knows, maybe he's subscribed to the podcast now. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciated that. And thank you very much. Yeah, I know, even over Colby, as Jessica Frey puts it out there. So yeah, thank you very much to Jeff Probst, a recent guest on Rob Has a Podcast. And between having Jeff Probst on the show and what a great season of Survivor it has been so far, this Rob Has a Podcast, we're burning up the iTunes charts. I've tweeted last night, as of last night, in the TV and film category, of the top 10 podcast episodes, three of the top 10 podcast episodes were Rob Has a Podcast episodes from the past week. So really just firing on all cylinders right now. Great season of Survivor. Feeling great about the direction of the show. And really, really great. Getting great feedback from you guys as well. And really having a lot of fun every week on Rob Has a Podcast. So the other thing that's going on, we've got, I just got off the phone every morning, it seems like, this month. I've been on a call with Jenna Maraska. We've been working very hard at getting this Survivor Amazon commentary, putting the finishing touches on it. Tomorrow morning, we're going to record episode number 13 and the reunion. We're really having a lot of fun doing this, going down memory lane. I mean, it's really 10 years to the day that we are about doing this. You know, we actually celebrated a Thanksgiving in the Amazon that year, and it was actually kind of fun. I mean, we didn't have any food or anything like that, and it wasn't like production was like, hey, here's a turkey. But I'll tell you, it was better than the Thanksgiving the following year that I spent with Rudy and Tina in Argentina. So Thanksgiving is a very special time for survivors, because a lot of survivors played Survivor on Thanksgiving during their time when they used to film Survivor at that time. But Survivor Amazon commentary on the way. Pre-orders. The rumor is pre-orders are going to start next week for Survivor Amazon commentary. I'll have more information on that later on in the week. And just a programming note here, tomorrow night, it will be a new episode of Survivor. That's right. No recap this year. In the past, we've had recap episodes on Thanksgiving or the wee Thanksgiving week. Not the case this year. Brand new episode, episode number 10 of Survivor Philippines will be on Wednesday night. Then no exit interview on Thursday. We are going to bring you the, I've been told by CBS, we're going to have the exit interview on Monday. So whoever gets kicked out on Thursday night, we will talk to them on Monday. And then I will bring you the regular Survivor podcast on Friday of this week. So, yes, who's the guest this week? And Jessica Frey, she's the head of interns this week. She's curious to know. I'll let you know later in this hour, but we'll go new school, okay? I'll tell you at the end of the show. Don't let me forget to tell you at the end of the show. So new school survivor coming up. New school male survivor. How about that? New school male, and we'll let you guys know at the end of the show. So lots of stuff going on. Then, of course, also, speaking of Friday of this week, it is Black Friday, and, you know, it's the crazy shopping day. I'm seeing the stores are going to are opening up in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner. Put down your fork. They want you to go to the store. Who needs that noise? Why don't you stay at home? Do the smart thing. Check out what's going on Amazon.com. They've got all the best Black Friday deals for everything that you need. They've got a lot of great stuff. You can even preview or get them now, a lot of Black Friday deals on Amazon. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday, get in on these deals now because they do go fast, and check it out. And it's a great way, you can kill two birds with one stone. Do all of your holiday shopping and support a podcast that hopefully you enjoy. So you don't pay any extra and you get the added benefit of making sure your iPod continues to get filled with crap all through 2013. So great stuff. So let's get into some of the Amazing Race here as we go along here. Amazing Race, a two-part episode. And you know what? They did exactly what I said I didn't want to see happen on this Amazing Race last week. I said, well, okay, I like the idea of a two-part episode, but no way they'll do a two-part episode and have it be a non-elimination leg. No way they'll do that. Well, that was exactly what happened, where it turned out that the first pit stop was a non-elimination leg. Thankfully, the second leg of the race, they did eliminate somebody, so it wasn't that bad, but let's talk about all of this stuff that's going on with James and Abba. And I have to give a shout out real quick to Eric Curto and he does the reality recap for us. He does a video recap of the Amazing Race. I haven't had a chance to post it on the website yet, but he really outdid himself this week and did a really great job with that. Check that out later on the website. He does basically the Amazing Race condensed down to about 8 or 9 minutes, but he puts in a lot of other video jokes. Really funny stuff. At Reality Recaps on Twitter, if you can't wait until then. He tweeted out the link before and I retweeted it. Really funny job this week. Michael O'Keefe wants to know, what was with Mark and Abba, I believe that's James and Abba, being able to check in without their passports at first, only then being allowed to check in with their passports 5 hours later? So, okay, so let's go through this step by step. And I want to hear from you guys if you have any insight on this about what exactly went down. So in the last episode of Amazing Race, James and Abba come in and they're like third place or fourth place or whatever in the race. And Phil says, do you guys have your passports? And it's always like, we're supposed to just believe that Phil is just omniscient, where whatever is going on, whatever, you don't have your clue, you don't have your passport. When you get to the thing, he asks you first thing, like, did you bring your passport? It's like, no, we don't have our passport, Phil. Sorry, we don't have it. You know, going back to when Jenna and Ethan were on The Amazing Race with the orphanage, like, he knew everybody, like, did you give all your money to the orphans? Somehow Phil's everywhere, but we'll throw that away for a minute. So they show up, and he said, well, you know, if you don't have your passport, I can't check you in, so you'll have to go find your passport. So James and Abba are like, oh, man, we got to go find our passport, whatever. So now all the other teams are racing. That's to be continued. They go around. Ryan and Abby, they're going along. They finish the swimming. Then the Beekman boys, they finally finish the swimming. They come back. And then eventually, James and Abba are just back on the mat. And Phil's like, well, did you guys find your passport? And they're like, no, we still didn't find it. He's like, okay, well then now you have been eliminated. But wait, oh, it's not elimination. So you'll get another chance. And you have a time penalty. What the hell changed between the first time they checked into the mat and the last time they checked into the mat? Well, I don't understand. Did they just decide, oh, no, we really can't find the passports? I mean, what is the difference between the first time and the second time? It's just, it's, it makes no sense that this is the rule. Either you can't check in without your passport, or you can, and there's some sort of time penalty. But there, what was this? And it was like some arbitrary, all right, we're done looking for it, Phil, so I guess just check us in. Oh, good news, it's not elimination. That really felt very weird to me about the whole thing with James and Abba. So I don't know about that. And was it 5 hours later? I mean, it seemed like James and Abba were like, Phil had to work overtime, it seemed like, that day on the pit stop, because there must have been like, you know, 2 days difference between when the Chippendales checked in to finally when Ryan and Abby got there, and finally when they came with the Beekman boys, who then they had to wait out their 4 hour penalty. And then James and Abba, God only knows when they got to the mat. Brian Lynch says, I thought the time zone challenge was great. All right, let's not get too far ahead with the time. We will talk about the time zone challenge. Believe you me. I will talk about the time zone challenge, because that was one of my favorite challenges from this season. But the whole thing was really, really bizarre. And then so James and Abba ultimately, I think what must have happened was this, was that they did, you know, they couldn't find the passport. They tried to go to the embassy to find the passport. I think that they must have told them, look, it's going to be like 24 hours or something until we get the passport, but we might be able to find it. We might be able to get these guys back up and running. So Amazing Race said, okay, let's keep these guys in the mix. We'll make this non-elimination. We'll give them another shot. We'll give them another 24 hours or whatever to find the stupid passport, even though they never ended up finding it. So unfortunately, that's it for James and Abba. But I have to be honest, I was not the biggest James and Abba fan. Yes, they had long hair, but that was about it. I mean, they never really did any, for two alleged rockers, they never did anything remotely outrageous or anything like that, other than lose their money and lose their passport. Yes, Dawn's Bread says, Rob, they didn't care. Obviously, they had long hair, and they did not care about being entertaining, because they were just like, hey, man, we're old. We've done it all. We've seen it all. We've been everywhere. We don't get haircuts. That's it. We can't even be bothered to bring our passport along. So James and Abba, it was not the best ever appearance on The Amazing Race. Red Scarf in the chat room saying, stop, Rob. I love James and Abba. Well, come on. Somebody refute me. Submit your question. Give me a video call. Tell me why. Defend James and Abba. Let me know why they were good on The Amazing Race. Because I have to be honest, I didn't see it through 8 episodes of The Amazing Race. Mark and Bopper, they were not, unfortunately. So, well, let me know what you think. I think most people in the chat room agree with me about James and Abba were not necessarily the most exciting team to ever hit The Amazing Race. So, let's see. Also in the episode, we had lots of interesting stuff was going on. We had a really, really fun challenge that took place in Moscow, where we had as Brian Lynch put it, the time zone challenge. Let's talk about this. So basically, the teams were given like a slideshow presentation of, okay, here is the map of Russia. Now, why this was in the chemistry room, I don't know. Here's the map of Russia, and then here's a bunch of cities. Now tell us what time all of the different cities in Russia are in. And we got some really, we had a few new great characters on The Amazing Race. Two characters came into the show this week that were much better than James and Abba. One, you had the crazy cab driver that took Trey and Lexi all over the state or the this country of Russia. That guy was great with the pink jacket, who didn't really speak any English, and really just drove them all over the place. And he was smoking that cigarette with the windows closed. He had the best jacket of all time. That guy was great casting for The Amazing Race. That guy should get another shot. And then my new favorite character from The Amazing Race, the Russian professor, which was really, really amazing. And he had lots of catchphrases. Yes, he said, so he started the thing and he would say, they would go. And then at some point he'd say, pencils down. Which was his catchphrase. And then after, then he would say, that's wrong. And then he'd say, next round, pencils down. And then finally, his last catchphrase, which was equally great, he's like, I'm very sorry, but you're the winner. Every time he said, I'm very sorry, but you're a winner. Pencils down. Really, really love that guy. That guy needs to be on Twitter. That guy needs to be on Spreecast. That guy could basically come along and he could put Rob Has a Podcast out of business like that. He really could. That would be my worst fear, is if that guy got into podcasting and he would just take us down. Nobody would listen to this show. People would just be wanting to hear the Pencils Down podcast with Russian professor. Pencils down. It would be an hour of that, and it would be great. And he would give people tests, and then he would quiz them the whole show. So we really got to see a lot into our Amazing Racers this week. Between James and James, they got there, and so the Vampire James did the test for James and James, and Lexi was doing the test for Team Texas. And it was a real meeting of the minds when Vampire James and Lexi get together to cheat off of each other on the test. Luke Foodie wants to know, does this prove Americans are bad at geography? At least, I don't know if it's necessarily they're bad at geography, but they're definitely bad at figuring out time zones. And God knows I struggle with this every time I try to book somebody for the podcast that's in the central time zone. I can do the Eastern time zone, but it really, really throws me off. Anytime I have to talk to anybody from Central time zone or Mountain time zone, I just need to remember that I'm like +7 and they're +5. So it's just only 2. Got to move the time zone difference a little bit. So I'm +7. They're -2. Oh, wait, hold on. Lexi, what do you put down? Okay, pencils down. Ah! The best, though, on this challenge had to have been Ryan, because he was just adamant. Like, he was so cocky the whole time. He finished the first one, and he's like, that's it. Easy. I'm done. Give me the clue. And he's like, you're wrong. Next round. He's like, what do you mean? There's a glitch in the matrix. The line that he said was, the machinery. What did he say? He said, there's a glitch in the file is corrupt, which is one of the douchiest things that was ever said on The Amazing Race. The file is corrupt. So Brian says basically he was right that you never tell Russian chemistry teacher that he's wrong, because he will tell you, as Jessica Frey points out, you need to relax. And he's like, don't tell me to relax. It started to feel bad for Ryan after a while when he was on like round 25. Dawn's Bread says, Rob, you need to relax. That is correct. I do need to relax a little bit. I get too worked up about my pencils down friend. So that was really, really funny. I love that whole sequence. And then the Beekman boys get there. And which one of the Beekman boys was that? Brent or the other guy? Josh? Is that the other Beekman? He got there and he was like, okay, that's easy. And he's like, I'm done. And he's like, I'm very sorry, but you win. So they just got through that with no sweat whatsoever. So really, really fun challenge. I only could have wished, my only regret is that they couldn't have done this challenge last season, because this would have been just a really great challenge to see not only Mark and Bopper, but to also get Brenchel doing the math test. Now, you would think that maybe Brendan would take it, considering he's a scientist, but if you somehow could have gotten Rachel in the mix here with the chemistry teacher, that would have been really, really, really exceptional TV. Nothing you can do about that. They had to move on and go along. So then we had which task did you want to do? So you had to do either the Russian dance, or you had to do go to the party with the Russian dignitaries. Now, I would have definitely gone to the party with all of the Russian dignitaries. That seemed like that would have been so much more fun than to do the Russian dance. And I don't know, we've said it time and time again on this show, stay away from the choreography challenges. They're really hard. You can get screwed over really easily, but nobody ever listens. And so they go there. And so the Chippendales, since Vampire James did the last challenge, this challenge fell to none other than the James that sucks. And the James that sucks did not get off to a good start here. Basically, the James that sucks can not really move his legs in any way, shape, or form. He has very bad knees. I thought it was James and Abba that had to get shots in their knees, not the James that sucks. But the James that sucks. But somehow he was able to pull through, and they got there, and they did all right. Everybody ended up, the Beekman boys, I feel like they made up a lot of time this week between just going through and getting the test, acing the test, and then going through and then finding all of the Russian dignitaries a little bit. I thought it was odd that they're like, well, we felt like we had a lot of time, so we hung out and danced with the Russian dignitaries and all that stuff. I thought that was a little odd that they would do that. I wonder if they kind of knew that James and Abba were really screwed at this point. But anyway, they go ahead. James and Abba, they struggle to find their passport. They never do end up finding it, and they are eliminated from the race. You have to watch Eric Curto's recap from this episode. I'll get that posted on the website once we get it back up later. He does a really funny song parody with my Russian teacher friend. He goes in on the line where Natalie and the twinsies. I almost forgot about this. Which one of them rips her pants? Was that Natalie rips her pants? They had to do like this Russian dance, and they had to like squat down, and you just hear like this rip. I wonder if that was a sound effect and not actually, because it was like the biggest like cartoon rip you've ever heard. Like she does a split and it's like, oh no. So it was really, really funny though. And it sounded like it ripped in the front also. So really, really funny moment in that challenge also with the twinsies and ripping their pants. So any other amazing race questions? Otherwise, we'll start to talk about some Survivor. Shut up, Tim says, what was the speed bump? Ride in a limo with a priest? I don't know. Did they even ever get to the speed bump, James and Abba? Because I think they had to go direct a priest to a place. They did. That was the speed bump. I must have missed it. They didn't really show it. So yeah, these speed bumps are getting less and less impressive because basically these speed bumps is like, you didn't get eliminated last week unless they really just want to kill you. I mean, what can they make you do with the speed? What was the speed bump a couple weeks ago with eat the Turkish ice cream cone? It's like, hey, you want this ice cream? You want this ice cream? Oh, you can't have it. So that wasn't really too impressive. So speed bump, you know what? I kind of feel like it's not elimination. You got off the hook. Big deal. We don't need to see another challenge. It was also such a crazy episode that it was like Chippendales were and Texas, they were already done by the time, and it was like the Beekmans and James and Abba, like, were still at the hotel. Like, they hadn't even started the race, and other teams were. They need to do, like, okay, your flight will leave in 18 hours, and just give everybody a chance to get back closer together. Winner predictions, I will say my predictions are, how about twinsies? Let's go twinsies. I think Chippendales is going to blow it at some point. I think my second pick might be Texas. I'll go with twinsies. And, Jessica Lease, our Amazing Race blogger, she wrote in her blog this week about how it was paying off for a lot of the teams to cooperate in the Amazing Race this season. And you really did see a lot of cooperation between the teams, between the Beekmans and Ryan and Abby basically doing that whole leg of the race together. They're helping each other get in cabs. Then they're helping each other with the test. So there's really been a lot of cooperation on this season of the Amazing Race. And we'll see how it pays off down the road if the team that wins cooperated the most or somebody decides to stop cooperating. Shut Up Tim says, compared to the swimming judge, didn't the dancing judge seem way easy? Yeah, it's these judges are very fickle. Sometimes they're tough, sometimes they're not tough. You know, at least with the test, there are answers. There's no gray area. But, you know, go back to Mark and Bopper in India last year, where you had the guy that was just, you know, telling everybody that they sucked. And then all of a sudden, like, they still sucked, but then all of a sudden they were okay enough to go through. So it's very, very difficult thing to determine these racing judges on dance competitions and whatnot. So yeah, Brian Lynch has the link to Eric's recap. Don't watch it now. Watch it after the show. But he does a really, really great job this week. I was really, really impressed with what he did in the recap. Really, really funny stuff if you've never seen it before. And for a lot of you guys that don't like to watch the whole race, you know, it's like the Cliff Notes. Get it all in 8 or 9 minutes from Eric Curto. All right. So if you guys don't have anything else about the Amazing Race, let's start to segue into some Survivor and preview what's going on here. Now we're down to the final. Final eight now. I'm already confused with. I'm not in Survivor mode. So I guess we had there was 10 people when Jeff Kent went out. And then Artis went out, and so now we're down to eight. Eight people left. So eight people's kind of a weird number, but this is a weird season. Usually not a lot of big swings happen at eight in the game because you basically need five people to vote together. But we'll see. I guess let's bring in Tyler, and let's pick up on where we left off on Survivor. Here's Tyler. Tyler, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Thanks, Rob. Same to you as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. And so, Tyler, let's pick things up here on Survivor. So what we assume is going on is we now have Abby Maria and Pete that are off on their own, and everybody else is aligned. Is that fair to say?
Well, that's what it seems like, I guess, at the moment. Not exactly sure if Lisa is still going to stick with Abby and Peter. She's going to go over with them to their side, but it certainly seems like a 6-on-2. Even though it kind of be paired up in a strange way, it does set three of the pairs want to get one of the pairs out.
Okay, so we'll see exactly how it's going to play out. Now, did you watch any of the commercials during football this weekend talking about Abby Maria is the most...
I always see those commercials during football Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. They say Abby Maria is the most annoying survivor of all time. And I tweeted on Sunday, my wife would disagree with that. She has a different pick for the most annoying Survivor of all time. So, yeah, very, very funny, how,
Steph there as one top three for sure.
Yes. Okay. So, we're going to do something a little different this week. And so we're going to take a look at a secret scene. Now, is this the scene that you wanted to look at, the cracks in their armor scene?
Yes, I decided to pick out a scene of somebody who's been one of the most outgoing, one of the most talkative survivors of all time. Thought I would put them up there.
Okay, so let me just, can anybody find this clip for me on YouTube and then send us the link? Because if you can get the YouTube version of this, then we can play it and we can all watch it at the same time. So don't click on this link yet. I just need to get the YouTube version of this, not the CBS.com version of this, because then we could play it on the Spreecast, and I think that'll be pretty fun to watch the secret scene and then talk about it, okay? So, Survivor Philippines Cracks in the Armor is the name of the scene. All right, and Don Johnson already clicked it. Don't click it yet. Don't click it, okay? All right, take it easy, everybody. You have to relax. Pencils down. Okay. So we will get that up for us. So on average, how are the Ponderosa videos so far this season?
They've been okay. I thought RC's was pretty good at the start because you got to get some of her story in there. But Jeff's was kind of bland. Artist isn't really interacting with Jeff or RC, so his is a little bland. You just see more of Artist talking about how he's okay with, you know, everything, that he's glad he got voted out by the way he did. So they've been kind of bland so far.
Okay. So now does everybody here have the window on their screen and they could see now who is this? We see Carter. Everybody's,
yes,
everybody's
Carter.
Got it. Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll count us down. And then in 3, 2, 1, we're going to hit play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play. Okay. Here we go. Here comes Carter.
What's crazy is I came into the merge pretty much feeling like my back was against the wall. Tan Dang seemed so tight and they had the numbers. I figured they would pick us off one at a time. And we came in and we found all these cracks in their armor. And we found out, you know, that Scoopin' was getting mistreated and people were, you know, not treating others with respect. And all of a sudden, it became any man's game. And to be honest, from each tribal council, my game strategy has in some way changed. Nobody thought Pinner would still be here, but he won the idol and Jeff got blindsided. And now all of a sudden, I can either align myself and be fifth, sixth man on a former Tan Dang tribe, or I can make something happen with these guys. And so I'm playing my cards to try and make something happen with these guys, try to get Scoopin' in here. Me, Denise, and Malcolm already agree that we don't want a former veteran to win this game, but it doesn't mean we can't use them and, you know, give them fourth place or something, and we could go to the top three. So if we get Scoopin', we're in a very good place.
Okay. So this, now, do you think this was from before the vote from last week?
Yes, it was while they're at the reward challenge in the village.
Yeah.
Or so, after the reward challenge when they were helping out.
Okay, so are you implying by that this was the clip you picked out that you wanted to talk about this clip in particular? Are you saying that Carter is the brains behind this operation?
I don't necessarily think he's the brains. I think Denise is kind of the one that has formed that tight three-person alliance. But I think it reveals, one, that, you know, even people like Carter that aren't getting the airtime that seem like they're in the know are actually playing, I think, a pretty good game at this point. They realize that they need to have numbers within that Calabar alliance. So it seems like those three are going to try and align, take Pinner and Scoop into about final five, and then get rid of them and try and go to the final three. That's a plan as of now.
But Tyler, was there anything else that was good from the secret scenes or from Ponderosa that you want us to pull those clips? Is there anything else that you would recommend that's worthwhile for us to see?
There's some good scenes where both Pete and Abby and Artis, they're talking about how they believe that you know, they have Malcolm with the upcoming vote, which of course, you know, Artis gets voted out of. But they thought Malcolm was completely on side, and even though he voted against them the previous week, I don't know if they knew that he voted against them, because apparently Malcolm did a pretty good job convincing them that he's still on their sides. That's about it, I think, of the secret scenes. But I thought it was just kind of telling to pick Carter one out, especially since we haven't heard from him, you know, figure out where he is in the game. And also to realize, because I didn't know that there's a three-person alliance within that caliber. I thought it was Carter and Penner, Denise and Malcolm, and then kind of scooping as a fifth. So now there is kind of a three-person alliance within that.
Out of the remaining players in the game, who do you think is going to be the best fodder for Ponderosa videos?
I think eventually if Abby got there, that would be amazing. That would be just truly amazing to see her argue with RC and the whole time. But I think other than that, Penner, awesome to hear at Ponderosa. I think you'll have a combination of him being a good sport about everything, so he'll interact with everybody, and then he'll start analyzing everybody's, telling them, you know, where they went wrong and how they could have used him to get to the end. I think Penner, obviously, you know, the storyteller that he is, would be amazing as well.
I am a storyteller. I'm going to be at Ponderosa. I'm telling what is the story I'm going to tell here at Ponderosa. Am I going to drink all day? Am I going to fight with people? Am I going to have a showmance? We'll see what's going to happen. I don't know. So it could be good for Ponderosa. See what happens all day. Maybe I'll start a band. We'll call it the Dragons. Good. Who knows? Matt Curran.
He'll start talking to the jury and ask them, what story do you want to
tell? Yeah, what... The greatest story that was ever told. Matt Curran, if Pete wins immunity and Abby plays the idol, who would go home? Okay, I think we touched about this on Survivor Know-It-Alls a little bit on Wednesday, but what do you think, Tyler? Okay, Abby plays her idol. Pete wins immunity. Who would go home? Would they suspect this ahead of time, or how would they do it? Would they just vote off Penner there to be safe?
What they should do is vote off Lisa. I think regardless who wins immunity, they should vote off Lisa next.
Ooh.
Because if Lisa, who voted with Tandane at the last tribal, is still with them, the best way to split the votes in the future, if Abby still has her idol, would be to vote out Lisa, so they have a 5-on-2 advantage rather than 5-on-3. Because if it's 5-on-3, they have 3 votes. You're going to have to kind of pick and choose one of them to pick. You can't really flush out the idol at that point. So Lisa makes mathematical sense, but they'll probably, if they had to regroup, I would guess they did probably go after Penner.
Going back to Survivor Amazon, one of my favorite Survivor moves is, hey, why don't we just take out the swing vote? That is one of my favorites, where that would be a great turnaround on Scoopin' and Lisa. It's like, oh, you guys think you have all the power? Now all of a sudden, we can't vote for Pete. We don't want to vote for Abby because she might have the idol. How about we just take you guys out that are the ones causing all the trouble? We still have a majority, and let's go ahead and do that this week. That would be really, really exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Cesar Nino on this season, though, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, Keith Renfro says, should Malcolm and Denise team up with Carter and Abby and Pete to go to the final five? All right, 8 people left. Should Malcolm and Denise with Carter? I don't really think they need Carter in this scenario. But why don't Malcolm and Denise say, hey, why don't we take the 2 most unlikable people in the entire game and sort of do a reverse whiteboard scenario, which I had explained on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Why not grab them?
That might could work. My only problem with it is that you're trying to think, when you get down to final five, who's going to win those last couple of immunities? That's really key, because somebody can really foil your plan. Pete could easily win those last couple of immunities. He's a strong young guy who can win that. But if you take Scoopin' and Penner maybe final five, or Lisa, yeah, Scooping Final Five. You know, Scooping's got some more years on him. He's not the same strong guy that we saw in Australia. You know, he's going to win the parlor challenges, but is he really going to win some of the immunities at the end? You know, we'll see. And that, certainly you don't want Pinner at the end with puzzles. No, no.
Yeah. I do have to say, yeah, my apologies. Yeah, they would need Carter, at least for this week, to have a five-person majority in the eight. But I don't know why everybody is so afraid to have Penner around for a little bit. I mean, yeah, he won the immunity challenge this past week. But, I mean, if everybody is saying, hey, a returning player won't win the game, if everybody is like, all right, everybody hands in, do we all promise that the returning players won't win the game? At some point, like, don't you all have to say, oh, yeah, well, we all said no returning player is going to win the game, so they're not a threat to win the game?
Well, the problem is, I think if a returning player makes the finale, they still got where it is. You almost have to vote for him. I mean, is there really a case you can make the finals and time you let him get to the hard case? Even, you know, you saw, you know, Boston Rob win, Soapy play, though, a strong enough game to where it overcame that. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Coach, I think, is the example that you look back to where he's the last returning player to make it to the finals, and he didn't get the votes. So we'll see how it all plays out. Let's see. Any other Survivor questions for Tyler while we have him here? Anything else? And then, Tyler, who is your prediction to go home on Wednesday night?
My prediction is that, so even though I think Lisa should be the person to vote out, I think that they will vote out my man Pete.
Oh, no. Guys. Oh, no.
I called him twice, and he hasn't gone home yet, though, so maybe he'll keep slipping by. We'll see.
We'll see. All right, Tyler, thanks so much for the call. Great job picking out a secret scene for us to look at this week.
All right, thanks, Rob. Go Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. All right, everybody. We got some time here at the end of the show. Let's take some rapid fire questions from you guys. Let's open it up. Text questions, video questions, whatever you want to talk about. We got some free time here. We'll field some questions. Rob's Taboo Buzzer says, Rupert threatened to live tweet this week's Survive Roar episode. What should we expect? Interesting that Rupert would pick this time to jump back into the Survivor fray night before Thanksgiving. I don't know exactly what is the connection to this specific episode, but yeah, I'd love to see Rupert live tweet anything. At the very least, could make it for some interesting podcasting this week. So let's do it. Let's see Rupert live tweet. Hopefully he live tweets something at Russell Hance. It turns into a big fight. That could be pretty good. So we will keep our eyes peeled for any interesting tweets from the one and only gubernatorial candidate of Indiana, Rupert Boneham. So keep an eye on that. Rupert, not a big tweeter. We'll see what happens. I feel like Rupert has somebody. I've always suspected that Rupert has somebody tweet for him. Like, I don't see Rupert sitting there with the tweet. Sending out tweets let's take a look. What's Rupert's Twitter handle? Let's take a look at this. Let's autopsy this a little bit as we go along here. What's Rupert's Twitter? Does anybody know? This isn't a good sign if nobody knows it off the top of their head. Pencils down. Okay, Rupert Boneham. Okay, so let's take a look at what is Rupert tweeting. I bet it's just like governor stuff. I doubt that Rupert is tweeting very much about Survivor at all. Let's see. He's gonna tweet. He's gonna live tweet Survivor. Something about Rupert's kids. This was on the red carpet after we left the island. Our favorite auction item. See, this, I don't know. I've never graded any of Rupert's papers, but if I had to guess, I don't know if this is Rupert tweeting himself. We'll see. if I was going to suspect if this is Rupert, if you showed me a bunch of text messages that came from Rupert, I would not imagine that they would be as perfect grammatically and spelling wise as these are. I'm just guessing. Maybe we should go back and take a look at some of his parchments and see if there are any spelling errors there. But good for Rupert if he's getting back into the Survivor mix. Everybody should come home to Survivor. If I was to be elected Survivor president, I would reach out to all of the former castaways, and my message would be, it's time to come home to Survivor. Put down your arrows and your pitchforks. Don't be so angry. You need to relax. Come home to Survivor. Welcome home, Rupert. Don Johnson. Pete broed down with Malcolm and Carter this week. Do you think he'll ever have a bro down with myself and Keith Black? Probably. I think so. I think probably at some point. Does he like fantasy football? Does he check out fantasyfootballschmucks.com? If so, then I could definitely see him having a bro down with you and Keith Black. Maybe you guys can help him with building his fantasy team next year. So we'll see exactly what happens. Maybe. Could be a bro down in the making. We'll see. Hope everybody is having a good Thanksgiving this year. Big, exciting Jets game on. If there's anything that you needed to give you a little indigestion after that big turkey dinner, nothing like watching the Jets play some football after that to really, really hit the spot. Anyway, all right. So this Friday, I'm going to be speaking with, very polarizing guest here coming on to Rob as a podcast. A lot of people have asked me for this person. I've gotten some people asking me not to have this person. We're going to talk with Troyzan from Survivor One World and hear what he has to say. See if the Troyzan lovers or the Troyzan haters are right, and see what they have to say. Being met with a favorable reaction here in the chat room. Yes, okay. People are not thrilled with this one. Okay, look, we said once last season we were gonna have him on for a podcast, and so a lot of people, they don't like him. A lot of people do like him. Look, it may not be the only podcast this weekend. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Okay, so Black Friday coming up. And so we are going to remind you one last time, before you go out and stand in line at the store, don't forget about robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or go to the Black Friday homepage at robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday. So I hope everybody has a great holiday on Thursday. Don't forget, unless you're too busy with stuffing a turkey, go ahead and check out Survivor Know-It-Alls. No Stephen Fishback this week. He is traveling for the holidays. I'm hoping to have Nicole with me live on Wednesday night. So I think that should be fun. We'll bring the whole family in for the holidays. And I think it's going to be a good show. Want to hear from you guys as well on Wednesday night as you're getting ready. Big bar night Wednesday night. They say that's the biggest night of the year for all of the college kids. So God knows what might show up as far as video calls go on the night before Thanksgiving. Hopefully, all the real crazy people are going to be out at the bars. We'll see exactly how that will turn out. But I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun on Wednesday. Podcast with Troyzan coming to you guys on Friday morning. Should be a lot of fun. Hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the parade. Enjoy all the football. I'm gonna see you guys on Wednesday. So we'll talk Thanksgiving before then. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.